You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
And I'm Martin Bruda.
And that's all there is.
That's it.
That's it.
We've got Armageddon outside. It's storming. It's wind blowing. We got flat tires. We got people missing. We got
Windageddon.
We got theme music missing. We got the FM broadcast isn't even working, so people can't hear this live. We're going to have to record it.
Yeah. So we're off to a good start.
Excellent start. First
show back for the summer season.
Exactly.
Feels very summery out there. I drove over several trees to get here.
I drove around one.
Sam drove through one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got a flat tire, so gosh only knows when he's showing up.
Yeah, he'll get here at 8:59.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, I got the Luann update.
Oh, yeah.
Too late, Sam. Too late.
So we're sitting in the kitchen here at the radio studio, and I look at Dan, and Dan looks at me. He's like, I've read no comics in the last 3 weeks, and I'm like, I've only read one.
So let's save that comic for later.
Yeah, so we don't have a heck of a lot to chat about today as far as new stuff goes.
Oh, I got tons to talk about. Timmins. I was up in at the Timmins Comic Con.
Yeah, they renamed that sucker, didn't they?
Because it used to be the Northern Ontario Expo.
Yeah, and now it's...
And now I believe it's the Timmins Comic Con.
I think it's Northern Ontario Expo presents
the Timmins Comic Con. Yeah, I just call it Timmins Comic Con.
Yeah, because I think they switched that around. It's Comic-Con Timmins.
Probably so they didn't get sued.
There you go. So how'd that show go? Because it sounded like it was a hoot, but, what was that, 18 hours on the road?
Oh, baby. So that show, I left here at 9 o'clock in the a.m. By the time you had some pee breaks, multiple pee breaks, I got to the Timmins at 7:30. So
7:30 at night?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So it took me about 10 hours, a little over 10 hours. I did have to stop for a lot of pee breaks, though.
Well, I can imagine. That's the worst thing for a road trip for me is I'm always stopping for coffee and pee. And I'm sure it's the coffee that's making me go to pee.
Yeah. I remember our first road trip, you had to pee at the side of the road on the 401.
Oh, that was bad. I had to go so bad. It's like, pull over!
I didn't have any anything that bad on this road trip. But, yeah. So, yeah, it was a big, long drive. And then I got there. And so this story, that was the Thursday. Stayed overnight Thursday. Friday was the setup for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was talking to all the guys who were there. And we all agreed that at 7 o'clock, we were going to meet at the Curling Club, which was where the show was going to be. And we're going to set up, and then we're going to hang out after. So I go set up. I'm getting set up. And then I hear a voice, and I look up, and it's Sharon Goche, the artist for Lil' Aurora Man.
I don't want to be a dick, but did you look up or did you look down?
I probably looked up because I was already looking down at my table.
Sharon's a fantastic lady, but she's a diminutive lady.
She's not that short, though.
No.
No. And
it must be just compared to Davis in that one photo at the, at the beer.
Compared to Davis, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, compared to Davis, I'm short.
I would say she's of average height. And so she comes up, and it's funny because I was thinking beforehand, I was like, I wonder if, like, Sharon's a hugger. Is this going to be like one of those situations where we have a weird, awkward hug? Because we're friends on the internet. We're friends, like, for real friends. We talk all the time, talk about comics, talk about other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the first time I've ever met her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, so is it a hugging situation or no? And then she comes around the side of my table and is like, okay, this is probably a hugging situation. And then she goes, this is from Jeff. And then she slaps me on the rear end. And then she smiles at me and goes, this is from me. And she holds out her hand and shakes my hand.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't think I could have been more stunned at that. So that's how my Comic-Con Timmins started.
There you go.
And then after that, we went out. We all got set up and stuff. And then we went out to dinner. And we're hanging out. And everybody was texting Jeff Burton from Lil Aurora Man. Or Aurora Man. Everybody was texting and messaging Jeff to be like, Jeff, I don't deserve a pat on the behind. And it was a funny, weird situation. And Sharon actually turned it into a cartoon today that I shared. It's one of her bootleg cookie cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
So I shared that on my Facebook page. We could probably share it on the Hey Kids Facebook page, too, so everybody can see the amazing cartoon awkwardness of our first meeting.
We definitely should.
So that was good. But, you know, the show itself was really a lot of fun because they don't have a lot of Comic-Cons up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, this is a pretty big deal for them up there. There's this one, and then there's, like, maybe, like, the Sudbury Graphic Con one. And, you know, there might be a few other ones around, too, but there isn't that many. There isn't that many Comic-Cons.
Well, how many comic shops have they got in Timmins?
Just Jump City.
Yeah.
Which I did go to.
Not criticizing. I mean, Peterborough's only got Grey Guardian Games, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the first day, it was just packed. The show was so packed. Like, it was unbelievable.
Well, that's what Dave Wildstar said about some of the conventions that he runs east of Peterborough. Because yeah. there's just nothing in that area that once you do put a show in there, everybody comes to check it out.
And I would say that was the case for the first Peterborough show as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, that first Peterborough show, that was packed. There was just, that was everything you could want from a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Timmins show was the same. Like, it was just a packed, full show that was a lot of fun. Got to see Chris Holden Reed, who plays Captain Canuck in the animated web series, and Paul Amos, who plays Mr. Gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to taste a Auric Lion's Mane beer.
Oh, tell me you brought some back.
I didn't bring some back, but I know that Andrew has a bunch.
Oh.
So maybe you can hit him up for one.
Hopefully.
And yeah, it was a good show.
Good, good.
My only story I have is being patted on the behind, though.
Yeah.
So.
My daughter, she used to watch a TV show called Lost Girl.
Yeah.
And she was, I can't remember, Fan Expo one year. They stood in line for like 3 hours for this signing with the entire cast. And,
yeah.
And Chris Holden Reed, he's in that. And so is the other fella, right?
Yeah.
And she just like lost her marbles when he was there, and she's crying and he's hugging he's hugging her, and it's okay, I'm just a guy, I'm just an average fella, I'm not some kind of weird demigod, relax. And she's like, you're a werewolf. But at Toronto Comic Con last year, I think it is, or the year before, Tony White, the editor there, he had a little bit of a staffing emergency, and he asked for anybody to help out with the table. So I said I was free, and I popped out there, and Chris came by with Fatty and they were signing autographs and stuff like this. And I'm like, hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy? Can you do me a favor and sign this comic book for my daughter, Mickey? And he's like, oh, let me guess, your name's Mickey. And I'm like, no, my name's Martin. She's Mickey. It's honestly for her. And then I told her the story about the Lost Girl. He's like, oh, okay. So he signed a comic book, like the photo cover with him in it.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there and people are coming up to the table and they're like, you know, hey, you should buy this DVD. You could get it signed by the guy who voiced Captain Canuck on the web cartoon. They're like, really? Where is he? And I'm like, he's right there.
That's yeah. See, now when I went to Jump City, they had a copy of the Captain Canuck DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I decided that I should buy it because I was like, hey, yeah, maybe I'll get them to sign it. Because I didn't bring my copy. I left my copy at home because I just wasn't thinking. And then I got to the show, and I was like, they want more for autographs than I want to pay on this Captain Canuck DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't get their autograph, even though I feel like I could have probably hit Chris up at any point because he was kind of wandering around the show at several points. I could have probably been like, Chris, sign my DVD.
Yeah, yeah.
Take pity on me. I'll trade you a comic book for a signature.
There you go.
But yeah, I didn't get them to sign that. But you know,
so overall, a great trip.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was just so great to hang out with all of the guys and girls that I know from Facebook. You know, hanging out with Andrew Thomas and seeing Davis. I haven't ever had a chance to spend any actual time with Davis. Just saw him in passing once, and we got to hang out quite a bit. I met Josh Rose, which is great. Josh Rose, or as we're calling him now, the sexier Dan Collins. Because every time I had to pee, he came and watched my table for me and pretended to be me. One time, he even signed a comic book for me. I came back, and he was autographing comic books that he had sold. And I told him it was okay. Beforehand, I just didn't expect that he would actually do it. Meeting Mark from the CCBA there too. Yep. He and I spent a lot of time together over the weekend. We walked up to Jump City together and ended up going on a possibly drunken walk from the brewery with him, guiding me home. And yeah, of course, Sharon. That's a scene that will go down in infamy. So. But yeah, like seeing all those people and the show itself, like I sold 47 comics that day, which is pretty sweet.
Nice.
So that was a good show. And then apparently Timmins is actually very close to Quebec.
Yes, it is.
Because just the way Ontario is set up, the way it like tapers off, that when you just go straight north, Quebec actually comes towards you.
Yep.
And so on the ride home, I went through Quebec for a scenic drive for an hour, and that's the first time I've been out of Ontario.
Well, there you go.
So, hooray for me.
Right on.
Yeah. So I'd say that was a pretty successful good trip.
Now, I'm just going to point out that it's $275 for a flight, Porter Air from Toronto Airport up there.
Okay.
Would you fly next time, or do you like the car ride?
The car ride was fun. I had good company. And I paid less than that for gas to get there and back. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Right on.
Not now. I mean, gas was
a
big factor. I was like, oh, man, as I was filling up watching that whatever gas thing just go up, up and up and up and up and up.
Especially nowadays at, what is it, $1.35 now? Or?
Yeah. And even beforehand, I like messaged Davis and I was like, hey, man, what's the price of gas up there? And he told me, and I was like, okay, I'll fill up down here. It was like an extra 10 or 15 cents more because they're north. But here's another thing that I didn't realize until I was talking to Mark, that everybody knows that Ontarians are very self-centered.
Yeah.
As far as when it comes to our place in this province, we think that the province, or in Canada, we think Canada revolves around us.
Everybody knows the capital of Canada is Toronto.
Yeah. And so I'm driving... I am driving literally north for 10 hours. And I'm like, man, I'm so far north. This is like crazy. Like, this is so north. And then Mark's like, I flew south from Saskatchewan to get to Timmins. Like, I live at a higher latitude than you do.
Yep.
Than we are right now. And it's like, oh, I'm ashamed right now.
There you go.
I'm ashamed.
There you go.
Yeah, it was actually, that was great. I kept like going like, where's the polar bears? Like I'm a tourist. Like, I want to see a polar bear, guys. Like, this is supposed to be the North.
When I was a kid, we didn't do too many, you know, like other kids go to like Disneyland and stuff like this. My dad decided that we would explore Ontario. So we were like Wawa, Timmins. We went to Moose Uni. We went to Moose Factory, all sorts of places up there. And I've swam in James Bay, and I swam in Hudson's Bay. And, well, I gently touched my toe into Hudson's Bay and went, damn, that's cold, and ran out real quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we spent quite a little bit of time up there, Cochrane and stuff like that. And it's amazing, amazing, amazing landscape. Just scary to think how much of Ontario is relatively unmolested.
Yes, like there's so much area up there. So, but it's also funny because, like, did you go up in the early spring when everything was still covered in snow?
No.
Because there is nothing to see.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking and I'm like, is that a field or is that a lake?
Nobody knows.
And, like, there was nothing. And at one point there was like a full on blizzard on the road. And I actually also only made about four turns the entire way. Like, because my GPS, I literally got on at one point and it's like, turn left in 386 kilometers. And I was like, oh my God. So like I drove a straight, same stretch of road for 380 kilometers. And that was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, still good times.
So while you were at the Timmins Comic Con,
yeah,
I was at the Peterborough Comic Con.
Yeah.
The second Peterborough Comic Con. First one being in the fall.
Yeah.
This is also another one of the Pop Culture Canada events put on by Dave Wildstar. And it was pretty good. I had a good time. Sold a lot of stuff, and but one thing that I did notice, and you know, I don't want to poop on the convention because it was fun and it was great, but the one in the fall we had a few more celebrity creators, comic creators.
Okay,
I won't say celebrity because James O'Barr was there, which was a huge draw. That was amazing, and he had Bailing and I wish I could remember the name of the other gal who was a celebrity there, but she was in Star Trek and stuff, so I can't remember exactly what her name is. But so there was guests there and stuff, but there wasn't any kind of huge representation from regional area artists and creators. You know, like at an artist alley would have been bigger. Like at the fall show, we had Kevin Briones, our friend from the show. Aishe Han was there. You were there with your booth.
Yep.
You know, so there seemed to be a few more creators. But as far as vendors and stuff go, I found tons of great stuff. You know, people came and bought a lot of my comic books and stuff. And so I thought it was a great show. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Did you meet James O'Barr?
I did in a kind of a weirdish way. It was our table ended up being right beside his, right? Because of the radio show.
Yeah.
And then I had my own little table beside the radio show where I was selling a few books, and it happened to be right in the corner, right by the door. So this guy comes up to me, he's like going, I'm going out for a smoke, man. Can you unlock this door when I knock on it? I'm like, sure, no problem. So he goes out and he's smoking, and I didn't even think anything about it. And so, boom, 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 pounding on the door. I'm like, hey, oh, yeah. Open up. You know how two introverts kind of say hi to each other. Okay. He went and sat down at his table, and then he started signing comics. I'm like, dang, that was James O'Barr.
I opened the door for James O'Barr. I'm James O'Barr's doorman.
I just had a brush with celebrity.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was busy as heck, and fellow came by who did a painting of Bei Ling and the crow, and James had no problem signing it.
Who has
like
time to do a painting of Jeff James of the crow and Bei Ling? Wow, that's apparently this guy should have a booth.
So yeah, it was a good time. We had a really good convention. I think, anyways, for the Peterborough area. I mean, could there have been? You know, Grey Guardian wasn't there.
I think speaking of, I hope that weird knocking noise is Sam Tweedle coming in.
It's Sam Tweedle banging on the window.
You continue to talk about Peterborough, and I'll
continue talking about Peterborough, and you go let Sam in, Mr. Lady Pants. Late E Pants, not Lady Pants. I don't know if he wears slacks or not. So, yeah, the Peterborough Comic Con was pretty good. And then the next week after was the Peterborough Antiques and Collectibles Show, which was also pretty cool. And that was, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh. You can't come into the studio broadcasting the show.
We've just broken the time stream continuum.
There you go. We're breaking the fourth wall. Sam Tweedle's coming in, like, all weird and listening to the radio show on his phone. And you need to turn that off, man.
I'm trying. I'm trying to turn it off.
Wow.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. Did you guys... I didn't hear, catch the beginning of the show. Did you guys explain
Neither
why I was
we.
Late?
Nobody cares. You were late.
Yeah, well,
nobody cares.
Had a good reason.
Anyway, yeah. So Peterborough Comic Book, Peterborough Antiques and Collectibles Show. That's what
that
we
was last weekend.
That was last weekend.
We were there. Yeah,
Sam was there with us, and that was right after the Comic Con. And you'd think that you know maybe there'd be a little bit of Comic Con fatigue, but it's a little bit of a different show.
Yeah.
So there was lots of comics there, but there was also a lot of vintage toys.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, I saw a lot of cool stuff there.
Like you know, I'm a big Mego guy, the 1970s action figures before Star Wars came and destroyed everybody. There was tons of those at multiple tables, and
my
really
favorite was the Bob Hope action figure golf set from the 60s.
Remote control.
Control action figure. Yeah.
You could actually remote control this Bob Hope around and hit golf balls. It was amazing.
In its original box.
I feel like 2014 Marty would have came home with that.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, I really, I liked the Bob Hope golf thing.
And, you know, I sold a decent amount of stuff there, too. I mean, I go to these shows to have fun and chew the fat and stuff. So if I make $300, I'm a happy guy, you know. So it was good. It was good. I like both shows.
But now that Sam's here, he can tell us about his brush with James O'Barr at the Peterborough Convention.
Yeah.
Well,
or maybe not James O'Barr himself.
Well,
but.
you know, I went and got James O'Barr's autograph. I had like a copy of the Complete Crow or Definitive Crow or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't find him to be too talkative or in fact, he seemed a little intimidating, really. There was something intimidating about the guy.
Intimidating or he was intimidated?
No.
That was the impression that I got. He's just as much of an introvert as I am.
Maybe. But I remember at one point looking over, we were all kind of cleaning up and people were, you know, leaving and cleaning up. And I looked over and James O'Barr's table was completely stripped. You know, none of his stuff was there. He wasn't there. There was just nothing, you know, except for a box of Timbits. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, somebody left a box of Timbits. I like Timbits. I wonder if there's any Timbits in there. So I sneak over and I look. And the thing, it must have had about 10 Timbits left in the box. I'm like, oh, my God, I want those Timbits. So I grab the box of Timbits and I put them in my car, thinking that someone's just going to throw them out. Well, a couple of minutes later, guess who comes back looking for his Timbits?
James O'Barr.
Well, somebody did. It wasn't really him. Somebody that was sitting at the table came back looking for the Timbits.
James O'Barr's son.
It might have been his son.
His handler.
And I'm just sitting, but nobody there. You could just tell they're looking for the Timbits, but nobody said anything. I'm sitting there going do. So yeah,
with white powdered sugar on your face.
Well, hello. Are you looking for something? No Timbits here.
So on the way,
I didn't eat your Timbits.
So on the way home, I'm scarfing down James O'Barr Timbits, thinking, "Wow, I'm eating James O'Barr's Timbits."
And that's why you've been blackballed from all future Peterborough conventions.
Yeah, that's why.
How did you find the Peterborough convention?
You know, I had a lot of fun. It was a good day. We saw a lot of people we knew. I didn't buy a single thing, but I didn't really look at the vendors or the booths. No, that's not true. I bought one book.
Which one? At the antique show or the Comic Con?
At the Comic Con.
Okay.
I bought a book, but you know what? I put it in my briefcase, and I've never opened up my briefcase since, and I haven't read it, and I don't remember what it was. I just remember that I was at some table. And then there was some woman sitting there, and she liked my Spider-Gwen pin. And then...
It is a good pin. I like it.
Thank you. And then she said something about Spider-Gwen, and I said something about she was trying to make small talk, and I'm thinking, I just got to get back to the table. And I said, so she's like, oh, I wrote a book. I'm like, really? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, and she told me what it was about, and it sounded kind of good. And I'm like, well, you know, support a local art, you know, not local. I don't think she was local. I think she was such a Niagara Falls or something. I thought, you know, let's support some talent. And she told me, she gave me her book, didn't give it to me. I bought it. It was a little more than I would have probably paid. Okay, it was a lot more than I'd probably pay. But you know what? Honestly, I haven't read it. I haven't really thought about it until right now, since you guys asked. So whoever, mysterious girl whose book I bought, I'll read it someday. I'm sure it's great. There was no cats involved, though. I remember that.
It wasn't the gal that was doing the erotica novels.
No, it wasn't that. Yeah, okay. No. I didn't go talk to her because she could. There was always guys around her table. I didn't want to be one of those guys. Well, there was always guys. Did you notice there was always guys around her table? You did. Did you? You did. You noticed? Okay. You were never at her table.
No, because I'm not a creep.
Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't go to her table.
But anyways.
It was fun, though. It was fun. It was great. And I had a good time at the show. I bought a lot more at the Antique and Collectible show. I bought some old Coke signs, and I bought an Osmond Brothers book. A book all about the career and life of the Osmond Brothers.
That I love that antique show.
Yeah.
Every year. That's a great show. I've got a few steals over the past few years from that show, picking up like decent comics for a good price, and just looking at all that old stuff. Even if I don't buy it, it's fun to look at this stuff. You know, like somebody selling an empty cement tin for $175, but somebody else is actually interested in that, and they're haggling over price. And I'm looking at that, going like, I don't know what you see in this tin, like why this is such a collectible to you, but as a collector, go for it. If it's what you like, you know,
if that makes you happy.
That's the neat thing about that show is, like, you know, we're comic collectors and comic readers, and we like comic memorabilia. There were two vendors there that were selling all sorts of military memorabilia.
Yeah.
And there were people, that was a destination.
Yeah.
People knew those two guys were going to be there. They came that weekend to check that stuff out and, you know, getting all excited about little campaign medals and stuff. And then there's a vendor that was selling all sorts of antique glass bottles. And there was some guy who's like, I drove all the way from Brighton to buy this pop bottle. And I'm like thinking, what? You drove all the way to Brighton, from Brighton to Peterborough to buy a pop bottle? How crazy nut. You're a moron. Why would you drive that far? Hold on. I got to plan my trip to Kitchener to go get a comic book. You know? So it's kind of neat to see, you know, it's the same mentality. It's the same type of people. It's just a different kink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see all that stuff and to see all those people. I saw Tony Andrews for the first time in forever at that show.
You know
what?
Tony every year brings that Superman puppet from the late 50s, early 60s. I'm going to buy that one day. I love that puppet. And I always say I'm going to buy it, and I never do. And, you know, the day I decide to buy it, you know, Tony won't have it anymore.
And, like, the Peterborough Comic Con the weekend before, Comic Cons in general, just don't see that many vendors of that kind of cool antique memorabilia. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like somebody who's a big Superman fan, and if somebody was at Fan Expo with a booth full of like 1940s Superman radio serial
promos
and stuff, and
sure,
and the cereal premiums from the cereal boxes, and I think it would be big. I think people would dig that sort of stuff, but it seems to not go into, like,
and
Comic Cons are full of pop vinyls instead of old antique action figures.
It's almost like with those kind of things, the vendors, because, like, obviously if you're selling that kind of stuff where it's a little bit of a higher price point, you know, you're not going to sell 50 things, but what you do sell will be the same amount of actual money as the guy that sold 50 pop vinyls, because he's selling those at like $10 a piece, and you're both making the same amount probably, or you might even be making more selling the antiques because you might have got it on a better deal a long time ago.
Yeah, it's just weird because, like, for example, I bought a in the 70s when Star Wars started kicking everybody's butt with 3¾-inch figures, Mego tried making a few 3¾ figure lines. And one of them was superheroes, and there was a Hulk. And I saw it at the Peebro Collectibles show. The green plastic of his chest was discolored from age, so it was kind of purplish black. And he wanted $60 for it. I bought the exact same action figure for, I think it was $12 at the Toronto Comic Con once from a vendor who kind of had that kind of stuff just sort of hidden in the back, not really prominent. And it just like, it just seemed weird. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it just seemed kind of weird that at a comic book convention, you know, Toronto Comic Con, one of the bigger comic conventions, this really cool comic toy was sort of less expensive, buried in the back, not really the focus of the show.
Yeah.
But yet at a flea market convention, right, where everybody's sort of selling older stuff, it had a high premium value on it. Like, I just thought that was weird.
And there's definitely an untapped market. So if there's some people out there who, if you got a, want to do some whatchamacallit, antique. Somebody needs to set up like an antique bin at these booths and stuff. The smaller conventions, not just the bigger conventions. So, hey, Sam, have you read any comics recently?
I have read comics.
That's sweet, because I haven't.
Yeah, well, you know what happened is I wasn't at the comic bookstore for about a month.
Yeah.
And then last week I decided to actually go in and clear out some files, so which means I came home with a month's worth of comics. Well, you know what? I've talked about a lot of these on the show before, but I kind of want to talk about them again because I really kind of like dig where some of the stories are going, and I just want to give some of them another, you know, another mention. One is the Further Adventures of Nick Wilson, number 4. Are you still?
I am not still reading that.
You're still not reading it. Okay, so
I actually haven't heard anything about this. So.
I think I got issues 1 and 3 if you're interested.
Well, let's see how well Sam is selling it.
You know, it's a series about a guy who used to be a superhero. And he lost his power. He was a normal guy. He got superpowers briefly, lost his superpowers. And now it's about how he carries on in the world without superpowers. And it's one of these books. It's a 5-part miniseries.
Okay.
And it's one of these books like where each issue just keeps getting better. And number 4, I read it last night. It's by far the best issue yet. And I know there's only one more issue. And I just don't want it to end. You know, and like, it's one of those books, too, is where it's so low on the radar that I kind of forget about it. It's never a top-of-the-pile book.
Yeah.
And I kind of forget about it, and that comes out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of still buying that. And then I read the book, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Boy, was that a good read. And I think number 4, basically Nick Wilson meets a guy who this guy comes – basically Nick Wilson and his arch nemesis – is creating a Nick Wilson museum. And one day this guy shows up at the museum and he's in all crippled up and he's in crutches. And it's a guy that Nick Wilson, quote unquote, saved. But by why saving him, he broke his back. And Nick has to like, kind of talk to this guy who he's been avoiding for years. And, because he's been haunted by this memory. And, there was just twist that you didn't expect in this story, and it was such it's a funny read, but it has just such moments of poignancy that that I really love, and I remember reading this thinking, oh my god, I don't want there to be just one more issue. So really good. Another one I gotta talk about, I've talked about it I think last time we were on the show, Snagglepuss number four. I gotta tell you something. I know I was really praising this, but I'll tell you, they really turned up the heat in Snagglepuss number 4.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that happened that I just couldn't believe. And again, it's become such a good, really capturing what it was like to, be gay and in the theater in New York in the 1950s through these Hanna-Barbera characters. And there was some really interesting stuff in there. And I think this is going to be one of those series, I think, when it gets in graphic novel, which I think the latest previews has it solicited for the collected series. I think it's one of those graphic novels that is just going to keep getting, which I think deserves to be passed around. So I'm really hoping that it finds a new audience that way. And new from Aftershock, Brothers Dracule, number one.
Right. Written by Colin Bunn, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I saw that at Worlds Collide, and I was like, ugh. But I also hadn't picked up my comics for a month, and yeah. I was like, no, I can't do that.
It's great. It's basically based on actual historical fact. Now, this won't surprise you, but when I was at Trent doing a medieval history, I did my year project on Vlad the Impaler.
Okay, yeah.
And they really use the history of Vlad the Impaler really well. You know, this guy knows this stuff. And it's a fictional story about Vlad and his brother, which back before he was Vlad the Impaler, they were actually given as quote-unquote guests to the Turks in order to so their father would stay in line. They had their children, and they didn't mistreat them, but
they're just there under the threat.
Exactly. Yeah. You invade our country, we'll end you. And this is sort of Vlad, I don't remember the name of his brother, but this is sort of their story. It's more sewn through the eyes of his brother. Except the twist is that they're actually training them to be vampire monster hunters. And it's more like, we'll train them, and then we'll send them out to get the vampires and stuff, and if they get killed, like, whatever. You know what I mean? And of course, but then that's all flashback to a drama where the brother is reunited with Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
As, you know what I mean? In, you know... And I guess the big one is Action Comics number 1000, which I have not read yet.
Oh, I did that. I picked that one up off the shelf because I was like, you know, Action Comics 1000 only comes once in a lifetime. I can splurge the $9 to pick that up.
Although Action Comics number 1 came twice in a lifetime.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, which was...
And hopefully no more times than that.
Hopefully no more times. That was... What a mistake.
But the real Action Comics number one only came once.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't read it yet. Now, what I'm confused by was the fact that I thought there was supposed to be an unpublished Siegel and Schuster story in this. But it is not there. And I don't know. Now, there's a hardcover.
Yeah, maybe it's in like the deluxe version or something like that.
Has that come out yet?
I have no idea.
No, I kind of bought it for that. But I haven't really read much of it. Some of the creators in there, though, Paul Dini wrote in it, and Bendis is
I bought it for Bendis
story.
Just to be like, let's see what he's gonna do. And Paul, you said
Paul
Dini's
in it,
cool.
Dan Juergens. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some pretty cool stuff going on. So it's going to be an interesting book, and you know, hopefully I'll get to it eventually. But yeah. I mean, I had a huge stack of books, and I canceled quite a few books too.
Yeah, you made a dramatic post in our Facebook group where we keep track of what we're going to talk about on the show and stuff. I'm going to cancel all of my comics.
All of them. I'm done.
Wait, how did you? I can't remember. How did you start that post? Something like, I can't remember, but it was
I can't remember.
Like,
I had an epiphany.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
like, guys,
I've had
an epiphany.
I'm done. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna keep 16 books. Just 16.
Yeah.
And then since then, I've added a few books.
so the epiphany wore off
pretty quickly. Yeah, it wore off pretty quick once I realized I love comics. So,
Because... The thing is, you said you're going to start reading the trades instead of just collecting trades.
Well, me and Marty's talked about that many times.
And there's nothing like that's how I started in mm-hmm. comics was reading trades, and you know, because it is it's easier financially. Usually, mm-hmm. you pick up trades for cheaper or whatever, and like you know, because it's not like a monthly subscription mm-hmm. like a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys talked about Free Comic Book Day yet?
We have not.
Well, tomorrow's Free Comic Book Day. Well, tomorrow's
free comic book day.
I called CBA this week because I can't actually make Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
We are all at an event tomorrow, which
we are. Yep.
You guys will talk about in a second, I'm sure. But I did call CBA. I talked to Victoria for the first time in like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It was very nice to hear her voice. And she put away a copy of the free Die Kitty Die Hollywood or not Hollywood Breast. What is it called?
Heaven or Hell? Yeah.
for me, and also got her to put aside a copy. Dark Horse is doing a Black Hammer original. A new Black Hammer story. Yeah,
that's cool.
So those are what are you guys excited about for Free Comic Book Day?
Captain Canuck Invasion from Chapter House. Chapter one.
The introduction to the whole invasion storyline that's going to be continued in Captain Canuck Season 4, Issue 1. So it should be cool.
Yeah.
As we painfully wait for the conclusion of Season 3.
And the release of the trades and everything else. But
no, I went in the latest previews and I looked for Chapter House to see if there was any offerings, and they didn't even have any books. They did? I missed it. What did they have?
Pitiful Human Lizard, I think, and the aforementioned Captain Canuck Season 4, number 1.
Okay.
And a novel, and if I'm not mistaken, Life, Death, and Sorcery trade paperback? I'd have to double check.
Maybe? I just want to make sure I don't miss Phantoma.
Now, let's talk about...
Well, Phantoma Season 2 has been solicited,
yeah,
but it's not out.
Okay.
Life, Death, and Sorcery... I picked that up in single issues, and then at the Toronto Comic Con, I picked up the trade from Danny Zabel, and I read it all in one sitting when I got home, and it was fantastic.
I did the same thing. I bought the trade from Danny, and I've yet to read it because I grabbed the first issue, and it didn't immediately grab me because it didn't seem like the kind of book that I like. And so then we went for the trade paperback because I figured, you know, I got to give it a fair shot. And it's just in my big arse pile of trade paperbacks I haven't read yet.
He had mentioned to me, I think, I was talking to him at TCAF last year, and he had mentioned that that it was meant to be like a standalone release and not monthly.
Yeah.
And the story is supposed to be like read at once, not like split up. But that's how, like, in order to make things work, that's what they ended up doing. But I would definitely recommend it. It is like a kind of like a magic-y, weird story with realms and some fantasy and stuff in there. Not super fantastical, but like a little bit of fantasy in there. But it was a really good, solid read. And I finished it and I was like, well, I need the rest of this story now.
Yeah.
So,
Captain Canuck Season 4, number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Key, the Wellspring Trilogy, which is a novel.
Okay.
I bought it for Aaron, so I'm assuming you could get it at chapterhouse.ca and at the comic conventions early, but I guess they're going to redistribute it in Diamond. The aforementioned Life, Death, and Sorcery trade paperback, volume 1, and the Pitiful Human Lizard, number 3 from season 4.
Okay.
However, you know what else
did
they solicit? So, this Free Comic Book Day invasion is kind of like a prelude to the invasion thing. And because it's Free Comic Book Day, they did this before with Captain Canuck Year 1. The first issue was a Free Comic Book Day, but then they repackaged it and put it out through Diamond.
Okay.
So you could buy it later. So there's Invasion, 2 issues. The first one, Canada Day 2018, Justin Trudeau cover.
Okay, yeah.
And the second one, Canada Day 2018, Donald Trump cover.
Oh.
So there's going to be both a Trudeau and a Donald Trump cover.
Great.
Of Captain Canuck Invasion.
They've released a few panels from the upcoming Invasion comic tomorrow, and I'm sure Marty's seen them already. But
not me.
No, definitely not Marty. It was Trudeau talking like to the world or something about like it's just a coincidence that Canada keeps having having superheroes and stuff, and I just thought it was a really funny little thing.
So what's the plot of Invasion? You guys know?
Yeah, basically I'm going to mess this up. The Borealis? Is that the name of the alien race?
The guys from
Fallen Sun.
Yeah.
One came to Earth and was a big huge Captain Canuck battle thing. And then they kind of debriefed him in Fallen Sun and kind of found out the backstory and stuff. And this is like the rest of them are coming to
invade.
So it's a big, huge, like everybody's in it. It's Pitiful Human Lizard's in it. Pharos is in it. Northgard, Phantoma, Donald Trump. there's Putin. Putin's in it. And I mean, it's going to be a neat little big crossover type. You know, event type book, and there's some wicked shots in here, just some wicked shots. But that comes out That comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow on Free Comic Book Day.
That's the CN Tower.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
I think I've seen that panel. Somebody shared that panel with me before.
So, it'll be good.
Tomorrow we're going to be at Pete Caff down at the library doing our thing.
The Peterborough Comic Arts Festival.
Peterborough Comic Arts Festival.
At the public library from 10 till 4.
Or 10:30 till 4. But I guess the library doors open at 10, so.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so should be a fun time. The third show in 3 weekends for Peterborough.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but.
It'll be all right.
It's a free show, so that'll help.
Yep.
And we got some help coming though. Chris Sanigan and Jason Lapidus from the Group of Seven are
coming
down
exciting.
From Toronto.
Jesus, I love that comic book.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a good comic book. Anybody who isn't reading this, go get it. I'll put links on the Facebook page, and it's basically League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but Canadian historical figures doing a World War One kind of spy type heist thing.
It's kind of like what Rough Riders is to American history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Very similar to Rough Riders from Aftershock. And it's like Lester B. Pearson, future prime minister, he's one of the guys in it. The fellow who wrote In Flanders Fields, he's in it.
John McCrae.
Yeah, John McCrae. And is it Conn Smythe?
Conn Smythe, yeah.
Conn Smythe is in it, right?
Is Billy Bishop in it?
No.
Oh.
No, he's famous enough.
Oh, okay.
But it's just a great concept, and it's a hoot and a half of comic book. And they have like a subscription where you can just give them a few dollars, and you'll get all 6 issues when they come out. You don't have to worry about it. They'll just mail it to you. So issues 1 and 2 have come out.
Is that you've read 1 and 2 so far?
Yeah, I've read 1 and 2. I'm positive the lads are going to have copies of it out there at the public library. So come by. It's just a hoot and a half book. Now, it's black and white, ink wash. Mm-hmm. So it's not full color and stuff, but it's a really fun book.
And I feel like I've only read issue 1 so far. I'm going to buy issue 2 tomorrow. But like the black and white fits it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it fits it in a way that like if it was colorful, you'd be like, that doesn't fit the tone.
Yeah, it's a great
mood. So yeah.
And there'll be raffles and prizes, and we'll be there with our Hey Kids Comics booth, and Dan and I will have Aurora Man issues for sale, and there's going to be some panels,
and
some moderating, and it'll be a hoot. It'll be fun.
So definitely come by and say hello.
And it's your chance to look at the new public library.
Yeah,
the newly renovated public library. Sign your kid up for a library card.
I never went to the old public library.
Now, I have heard a rumor, but I'm not 100% sure if this is true or not, but there is a library service kind of like OverDrive. I'm not sure if you've heard of OverDrive either, but you can actually rent library books on your tablet and e-reader. There is a comic book version of this.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw it at the Whitby Comics Art Festival, but for some reason I forgot the little postcard, so I can't even remember what the service is called. And I hear rumor that the Peterborough Public Library offers it too. So you can literally go and sign out, I'm using air quotes, sign out a trade paperback on your tablet, on your phone and stuff, read it, and then sign it back into this virtual library. So you could be reading all the trade paperbacks you want for the price of a Peterborough library card.
Do they charge for library cards these days?
I don't think
they
so.
They didn't back when I was a kid.
As far as I've never paid for one, but
yeah. But I'm from Ennismore, right?
Mm, so right.
I think if you're out of town, they might charge you. But yeah. I don't know for
Arthur
sure.
And his friends would be so disappointed.
Well, it'd be like $12 for the year. It's not much if you're out of town, and I'm pretty sure if you pay.
Plus, you're supporting a great cause.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you pay Peterborough property taxes, it's still a freebie.
There you go,
freebie service. So it'd look pretty cool. So that's what most of us are doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Other than that, you covered, I had some gastrointestinal issues there.
Sorry about that.
That's why I ran.
I thought you were going to punch me because my phone went off.
That's why I ran to the bathroom.
I have a news story that I wanted to bring up on our last show, but I didn't. I got stuck not being able to make it, and it's still something going on. Okay. I can make it real quick, but I want to talk about what's going on in there's one comic out these days right now. I don't know if you know. There's a huge controversy shaking up the comic world. Nancy. Have you guys heard about Nancy?
You sure we didn't talk about this?
No, we didn't talk about this. Me and you've talked about this.
Talk about your funny strips.
Okay, so of course everybody knows Nancy. The or as my buddy Jeffrey Danger likes to call her, little orphan emo, which is this chunky little girl with spiky hair and a bow and beady little eyes, has a boyfriend named Sluggo. Now, Nancy is, by a lot of our comic critics, it's very divided. Some people that love classic comics just hate it. They think it's the worst strip ever. While other people think that the original comics by Ernie Buschmeyer is a comic masterpiece. And the online community for Nancy is massive. Massive cult following. Much bigger than Luann. And I actually, for a long time, I've been reading Nancy for years. I just never really talk about it as much because there's not much to talk about, especially the classic Buschheimer stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a guy who was writing Nancy for a while. He just quit, and there's a new Nancy writer. Her name is Olivia James, which, by the way, is not her real name because it's a pseudonym. Is that how you say that? Pseudonym? Anyway, she doesn't want people to know who she really is, which is probably good because the Nancy fans want to burn down her house.
What did she do?
She screwed up Nancy. Basically, it is so bad. She has decided to make Nancy about modern technology, cell phones, iPads, internet, memes, Twitter. But Nancy and Sluggo are kids from basically haven't aged or even updated their style since the 1950s, mm-hmm. right? So she's putting all this social media stuff in it, and it's just the worst. The comics are so bad, and the Nancy fans are going so mental that GoComics.com is saying that they're actually getting more hits per month because of all the controversy, so no more people are reading it now to tune in to see how bad it's getting. Yeah. Okay. There has been the Washington Post did an article on it. CNN.com has done an article on this just by this vile negativity towards the new Nancy comics. And I'll admit that I read it every day and I'm like, when is this madness going to end? When is it just going to end? The woman doesn't get it. Now, what's really cool, and I'm looking forward to this, is the Nancy Renaissance started by a book that was released by Fantagraphics Press called How to Read Nancy, which is really a celebrate. It's more of a scholarly look at the Nancy strip as an art form. And the authors of that book are going to be at TCAF 2 weekends from now.
Yeah.
And I am really looking for, I don't own it, but I can't wait to pick up my own copy and talk to those guys about Buschmeyer and Nancy and Sluggo. And also, I look like Sluggo. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that. That's why when me and Marty go to restaurants and they ask you for your name, I don't like giving my name. I think that's really stupid. So I always say my name's Sluggo. But no one ever calls, say it's an order for Sluggo. No one ever.
They're like, yeah, it's for the bald guy.
It's because knowing your name is Sam is somehow more identifying of your secret information than calling you Sluggo.
Well, I used to say my name was Fernando, after Fernando Ruiz, but they wouldn't say that either. So I thought maybe Sluggo would be more believable.
Why wouldn't they say Fernando?
I don't know. Do I look like a Fernando?
You could be, with the hat kind of tilted. Mm-hmm, yeah,
maybe a little bit.
You could be Fernando.
So anyways, Nancy, go.comics. Don't read it.
You can. Here's where you can read it. Don't read it.
But the Nancy collections, the Buschheimer Nancy collection from Graphics, amazing. If you like that stuff, you know what? It's not everybody's thing.
I read the first three of that new lady's Nancy.
What did you think?
I found it ever so more repulsive than I normally find comic strips.
It's pretty bad, eh? Like
it was bad. It was just dumb.
It's basically this face
like
in the left.
People who hate Family Circus are looking at this going, what is this? I'd rather read Family Circus.
And man, that Jeffy, the smuggest comic character in the history of comics. Hate Family Circus. You know the real life Jeffy writes it now?
That's stupid. The only comic strips I used to read were Wizard of Id.
Yeah.
And there was another one. But I got them because they were in those, remember those paperback reprints?
Sure. Yeah, I got a ton of Peanuts ones of those.
Like, yeah, my dad used to give me those all the time, I guess, to shut me up on car trips or whatever. But I got like the Mad Magazine ones and stuff. And I had two Wizard of Id ones that I read back to back multiple times. What's the other one?
I remember I had a Hagar the Horrible one.
Yes, Hagar the Horrible. Yeah,
and I had some BC.
Oh. Yeah, see, now my 50-year-old mind isn't sure whether it was Hagar the Horrible or BC. But it was definitely...
I never got into the Wizard of Id.
Wizard of Id was pretty good.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I used to like... I like the early BCs by Johnny Horton. But he became like a born-again Christian and tried to mix Christianity and cavemen, and it just didn't work.
I feel like there's some jokes we could make there.
But... Probably.
Christianity and everything doesn't work.
Ooh.
Next time on Hey Kids Comics.
Hey Kids Comics.
I know what the next soundbite for our down. new opening.
Meanwhile, Marty's reading Dark Ark and Pestilence. All these other comic books based on Christianity. Oh well. Do we have time for a quick review of Avengers number one? Because I know Sam brought some books in while I was having my gastrointestinal issues. So the one comic book I read in 3 weeks is Avengers number one, which is Avengers, I don't know, 677 or I don't know. The digital copy I have in front of me doesn't have the legacy numbering. But basically, it's a reintroduction of the Avengers. But they start off with the Avengers from 1 million years ago.
What?
So there is analogs of all the Avengers characters in this 1 million-year-old Avengers. So it's Odin instead of Thor. There's a Hulk-like creature, but he's got the Star Brand emblazoned on his chest. There's a girl there that looks like Moondragon, but I have no idea who she is. There's a guy there that looks like Black Panther. I have no idea who he is. There's an early Ghost Rider. And... the Doctor Strange knockoff, homage. Guess who is the Doctor Strange analog 1 million years ago? Agamotto.
Who?
The Eye of Agamotto that Doctor Strange has on his chest. This is actually the wizard Agamotto.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So, and it just kind of opens up that way, and they do this thing. And the basic story is the first time a celestial lands on Earth, and these Avengers... deal with that very first celestial invasion. Then it flash forwards to current time. Thor, Tony Stark, and Steve Rogers are having a beer, and they're all like, oh, we got to reform the Avengers. And Tony's like, that was expensive. And they're like, oh, let's do it. No, let's not do it. And then all of a sudden, there's this calamity that happens, and they get called into duty, and all sorts of people show up. Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and all these people show up. And this is apparently the last invasion of Earth, of the Celestials, because all these Celestials are landing on Earth dead. Mm. So they're like dead, falling to the Earth. Ghost Riders in it and stuff like that, and She-Hulk and things. So it looks interesting, but again, being a DC guy, I'm not sure I have the same draw to these characters.
No, it's interesting. When I made my latest comic order, I mentioned to Dan that I added a few books after canceling a whole slew of them. And you know, it's funny. I'm giving some more Marvel books a chance. I miss not buying Spider-Man. I read Spider-Man for years and years and years and years, and I quit with the Iron Spider-Man. And I'm looking forward to having a Spider-Man book again in my collection. I'm going to be trying out X-23. I'm doing Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm doing Venom because Danny Cates is writing it. You know, it's now Avengers. I've never read Avengers. My whole life, I've never read Avengers. I don't even think I have a single Avengers book in my collection.
You know, the first Avengers I started reading was Michael Bendis's Brian Michael Bendis's New Avengers.
Yeah, never read it. So
I think we're running out of time. Here,
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're actually completely.
But everybody should come to PCAF tomorrow to say hi to us and come and visit. Pop in, make it a success.
All right, we'll see you there.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway? Thank you.